Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913-1914, page 1747, slide. Visible translated text is as follows. He asked Mr. Craven to give it back, and Mr. Dot Craven had refused and told him the statement had already been given to the detectives, and if he, McKnight, did not now stick to the story, he would surely get in trouble. McKnight told me that twice during his period of testimony on the witness stand, he came very near coming right out with the truth and would have done so had Lesser kept after him a little longer. He also said that if Mr. Dot Frank was ever tried again, that he had told his wife Manola that he would tell the truth and repudiate the falsehood he had told at the trial. I have carefully read the original affidavit signed by said McKnight, dated January 19, 1914, and recognize in the contents thereof precisely the same statement I heard Albert McKnight repeat to Detective Burns, myself, and others on the date referred to above. H.J. Haas, sworn for the state. On Sunday, January 25, 1914, in company with Detective W.J. Burns, Dr. Dot Thos H. Dot Hancock, and C.W. Burke, I called on Albert McKnight, who was a patient at the colored hospital known as Fairhaven Infirmary on West Mitchell Street. I heard Detective Burns questioning Albert McKnight regarding the affidavit McKnight had made to C.W. Burke on January 19, 1914, and heard the detective ask him if the affidavit was the truth, and Albert McKnight stated to us that it was the truth in every way, and that he had lied on the testimony which he gave on the witness stand at the trial of Leo M. Frank, and that he had made his affidavit to C.W. Burke of his own free will and accord, without any promise of reward. I heard Albert McKnight tell Detective Burns that one R.J. Craven, employed at the film of Beek and Gregg, was the man who had induced him to swear falsely against Frank. I heard C.W. Burke tell McKnight to explain to all present what, if any, offers said C.W. Burke had made to him in order to secure his affidavit, and McKnight replied that Mr. Dot Burke had made no offers of any kind to him, and further said that Mr. Dot Burke had only talked religion to him, and that he had only told Mr. Dot Burke the truth. I have carefully examined the original affidavit signed by Albert McKnight, dated January 19, 1914, and recognize the contents thereof precisely the same statement I heard Albert McKnight repeat to Detective Burns, myself, and others on the date referred to above. John Minor, sworn for the state. I am a reporter for Hearst's Sunday American, and as such, on the night of February 21, 1914, I